Good afternoon and welcome to the Pleasure for Health podcast. It is Saturday, March 9th, and this is Ilse Kepi coming at you live today from somewhat sunny Nova Scotia. And I am very excited to be talking to you, all of you, and discussing with you the pros and cons of people pleasing. And people pleasing is something we may have come across. You may have been called a people pleaser. You may have people pleasers in your life. For whatever reason, here you are, and we're going to chat about it. So, you know, let's dive right in. First of all, if you want to find out more about me and my work, check out my website, pleasureforhealth.com. You can find out all the programs that I offer, different coaching, and, you know, it's all about relationships. I love to talk about relationships and work with people on creating better relationships. So in that vein, let's dive right in. So I kind of wanted to chat about this mostly because this is people pleasing can be, funnily enough, you may not have heard of this before, but people pleasing can be a trauma response. And that might be news to you in that, you know, we often talk about the fight or flight response. Maybe you've even heard about the freeze, you know, fight, flight, or freeze kind of response to trauma or stressful situations. But people pleasing can be considered a trauma response if it's coming from that place of help me survive. Kind of like when you're, you know, if you have a pet dog and it rolls over and shows its belly, it's kind of like, love me, because if you're patting my belly and you think I'm cute, you're not going to be mad at me. You're not going to, you know, hurt me in any way. And so if you think about that as a, you know, as a human, we might not roll over and present our bellies, but we kind of, you know, roll over in a mental or a way and be like, okay, whatever you say, yeah, let's do that. I know you wanted to do it, so let's do it your way. You know, what can I do for you? And it's kind of this desperate attempt to feel safe in our body. And so that is where a lot of people pleasing, and where we kind of get the negative connotation of people pleasing, comes in, is when it's actually happening. It's not, we're not pleasing the other person because we are so happy to be pleasing them. We're pleasing the other person because we want to feel safe. So it's a preservation, a self-preservation kind of thing. So that might be news to you that, you know, if you notice in yourself that tendency to, you know, sometimes you kind of watch yourself and you're like, what the heck am I doing? All of a sudden you're kind of, you know, running around trying to please everyone. And you're like, why am I doing this? I don't usually act like this. I'm not crazy. What am I doing? Perhaps, you know, there's some sort of panic response being activated in you. Perhaps you're feeling vulnerable. Perhaps you're feeling unsafe in that situation. Maybe it's just a family role that you play, that, you know, everybody else gets to have their needs met and you have to run around and do that because that's what makes everyone feel good. So, you know, that tends to be what happens in a lot of ways. So when we come back now and look at people pleasing potentially as a positive thing, I mean, if we never pleased anybody, if we were never interested in, you know, learning how to please other people and be in communication and relationship with them, do things for people that we love, it would be a pretty sad world as well. So we want to have the opportunity to do something for someone else because we love them, because we care about them. We would love to do something for them, and we want to do it coming from a loving place. And in that sense, people pleasing could be a really healthy part of connection in our communities, is that we actually care about someone else. And you could say that we're potentially lacking in our society in general, not everyone, but a lot of us in general are lacking a little bit in that ability to be caring about others, because we are in such fight or flight mode all the time, or we're just in survival mode. And I would say that that type of people pleasing, as far as caring about someone and actually being able to act on that caring for them, it means we have to not be in a fight or flight mode. So if we're out of our own panic mode and we're not in a trauma response, we can actually open ourselves to care about someone else. And we could actually say, you've had a really hard day. Let me make you a cup of tea because I can see you're really, that would really help you relax. And I have the capacity right now to help you. And so that is, potentially a really nice way to be a people pleaser when it's not coming from that trauma response. So I'll just read you a little quote here from, this is from a paper by Crocker and Canavello from 2008 and 2018. I guess it was two different papers. But they stated that humans evolved two systems. They evolved an ego system that is motivated by a desire for positive impressions from others. So we're just desiring to make the other person like us because we need that. And an ecosystem, which is motivated by the promotion of the well-being of others by fostering their thriving and avoiding harm to them. So that would be more of the I care about you kind of ecosystem. Crocker and Canavello argue that sometimes people who are motivated by the ego system, where we're just serving ourselves, can act in pro-social ways. So in, it seems like we're helping people, but not because they genuinely care about others' well-being and want to be constructive and supportive, but instead as a strategy to manage others' impressions. So if there's a kind of a manipulative aspect, so I need to manage your impressions of me so that I can be safe, or I need to manage impressions of me because potentially I'm narcissistic and I want you to like me because I want something from you. There could be a management on all sorts of levels there that is more of a manipulative management of everyone else rather than I really care about you, let me do something for you. So this management of others as a coping strategy begins to shed light on the idea that people pleasing, which we might also call fawning, you might have heard that, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Fawning would be this kind of people pleasing where we're, more in the ego, more for ourselves. And it might have developed as a survival mechanism, for certain individuals and in particular environments where they would have had to, there was no fight to be had, you would lose. There wasn't any running away. And, potentially freezing only works, dissociating and freezing can work, but people pleasing could also work as a survival mechanism there to help us survive. And I think we have to be compassionate with ourselves here. If we do this type of people pleasing or fawning, that we developed this habitual pattern because we needed to feel safe, because we needed to survive a certain situation. So it's not that we're bad people or that we have somehow faulty personalities, but we all develop different coping strategies. Some people get angry right away and have tantrums and have anger management issues. And it's all about feeling safe. If they get angry and they threaten everyone around them, then they get to make everyone else feel unsafe and they hopefully find some safety. There's, all of these things are coping strategies. So, we can juxtapose that kind of ego-centered people-pleasing with this altruistic behavior of ecosystem where we might actually want to help and care about and create a community sense of well-being. And if we as humans never strive to make other people happy or please them, we wouldn't have a very pleasant experience in our society in general. So, it's important that we have this kind of caring aspect to ourselves. So we don't want to get rid of people-pleasing altogether. We just want to look at what is the underlying motivation within this type of people-pleasing? And does it have this codependency inherently in it? Are we doing it to manage other people, or are we doing it because we actually really care about them? So there's the two aspects of people-pleasing that came to me and that I thought were really interesting to put out there. So we can kind of understand where this came from potentially. And how to get more into the second type, the ecosystem, I'm going to care about people type of people pleasing, means that we need to get ourselves out of fight or flight mode. And so we need to gain skill in that. We need to learn some ways to help ourselves get out of the trauma response of fight or flight, the nervous system hyperarousal. And that is a learning. If you have naturally come up with a way to circumvent, you know, getting, you know, dying basically, by doing sort of people pleasing or running away or fighting or whatever, we have to learn different ways to cope with the stresses of life so that we can actually show up and not be in that fight or flight. We show up calm, you know, with some security in ourselves, with some sense of integrity, sense of, I am okay. And I'm okay in this situation, and I will be okay, and I have some resources to offer to the people in the world around me, and I'm still going to be okay. And I would say that we're generally lacking in that feeling in our world at the moment. Many of us don't feel okay. We don't feel that we're able to offer anything to anyone else, and we're kind of burnt out. And so how do we come back to this place of finding some sort of calmness, some sort of bringing our nervous system into a balance so that we can have this ecosystem, have this caring, have this community feeling. So this pathway to being authentically ourselves, and I would say that we're not being authentically ourselves when we're in our trauma responses, when we're just in fight or flight. It's just like a cornered animal, like it's a survival mechanism. There isn't anything of our higher self there. So when I talk about being authentically ourselves, I mean, can we get beyond the survival mode and can we come into our hearts? Can we come into our higher chakras, if you want to call it that? Can we come into our higher understanding and our loving, caring aspects, energy aspects of ourselves, so that we can connect and have relationships from this place? And how do we do that? And so it really does come down to knowing ourselves, first of all. Are you walking around in a trauma response most of the time? And if so, you know, let's get some help with that. You know, whether it's really simple things like making sure you eat and drink what you need for your body, that you maybe get out in nature, that you have some good quality touch and nurturing in your life, even if that is paying a massage therapist or something to work with your body. You know, if you don't have anyone in your life, finding someone to have this kind of nurturing touch, it's a need. So we're just dealing with our survival needs, right? That in a way that helps us to be present to what's happening. So our food, our water, our housing, we feel safe, we have some touch. If, you know, if that is impossible in your life, and I really feel for you, and please, you know, I'm hoping that you can find some way to help yourself and find some support to get to that level. Most of us actually could meet our survival needs. I feel we have something to eat, we have a shelter, we have water, we have potentially some nurturing touch, some relationship with someone that's close to us. And then what we need to do is realize that the important work to be done here is in learning who we are and in sitting with that, and not just running around trying to distract ourselves from being overwhelmed and stressed, because we're not actually connecting. And I believe that most of us are really deep down looking for a connection. We're looking for the caring. We want to care for others, and we want others to care for us. And we don't want to be alone. We don't want to be lonely. We, you know, and I don't mean that you can't be alone for certain hours of the day or maybe a lot, but to feel lonely is different. We don't want to feel left out, lonely, unconnected. So how do we get that connection? You know, this is the kind of work that I do with clients. First of all, connecting to you, to your body, to your emotions, to your thoughts, connecting up all those three aspects of yourself to find parts of yourself that you deny. you know, we all have those parts of ourselves that we don't like to admit to, or that we don't actually acknowledge, that part of ourselves that is like critical of everything and everyone, that part of ourselves that is potentially maybe lazy, that part of ourselves that we judge, right? So we have all these parts of ourselves that we reject. And in doing so, we lose our full sense of self and that ability to feel okay with all of ourself, all of our parts being connected and in integrity. And then we have the possibility for reaching out and for taking in other relationships in the world because we're accepting of our own self. So this is the kind of work that I do with clients. I do this through a number of ways. It's hard to describe exactly what's happening at the time, but I do it in every single class. I teach yoga, I teach functional movement. This is all about how to work with your body to feel strong, to feel flexible, to feel alive. I do it through, you know, finding our aliveness, our energetic aliveness through bioenergetics. I do this through massage and body work to help feel into your body and what the pain is telling you, what the pleasure is telling you. You know, I do it through helping people with their sexuality and their erotic energy. You know, where is that getting stuck? How can we bring that into our wholeness? And I do this with helping people, you know, even writing classes, right? These can be ways of finding our different parts, of finding different perspectives, and of finding this ability to connect in this different way. So, you know, I have many aspects that I work with clients, and I bring all of that, you know, the archetypal aspects, the storytelling, the mythical, you know, quests that we have in our life. We can kind of look at it like that. And I love to bring all these different aspects to working with clients in such a way that, you know, there's something that you will be able to connect with. And once you connect with something, it's easier to keep going in that direction and keep making connections. And eventually, you know, I have a number of clients that are looking to find their a soulmate, find a partner, find a really good friend that you can share life with. This comes from doing our own work really first and from finding connection with ourselves. It doesn't come necessarily from having exactly the right dating profile or having enough money or having, you know, the right pickup line. It comes from really being authentically ourselves, and we will attract someone who is really able to be there in connection with us in this ecosystem kind of connection. So we're not just ending up in a codependent relationship where we people please with our partner in order to feel safe, and we never quite do feel safe. We want to end up, I think most people want to end up in a relationship where they really feel loved and cared about. And so we want to get to this ecosystem type of people pleasing where we actually really care for each other. So just reminding you that you can reach out. I do offer free consults. Go to my website, pleasureforhealth.com. You can book a 15, 20 minute quick chat with me. Let's see what you're working with, how we might best serve you. See if there's something in what I offer that would potentially help you at the place that you're at with this relationship with yourself, relationship with other, relationship with the world. So I look forward to talking to any one of you. Please do reach out. Otherwise, you can find more of a podcast episodes. Take a look at that. You can find my blogs on my website and lots of ways to start doing the work without needing to reach out if you're not quite ready yet. But I am open to connection and care, and that's what I hopefully bring to all my clients. So thank you for spending some time with me this afternoon, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen, and I look forward to hearing from you at some point. All right, take care.